This is Leave Your Mark. I'm Vince Cortez, and today's guest is Alvin Gibson. Alvin is a gifted athlete in high school and is recognized by Clarion University and is awarded a scholarship to play college basketball. He plays at Clarion as he excels to the top levels on a national honors. He looks after graduation for a pro experience, but he finds his dream falls short to play at the pro level, and his life takes a dramatic turn as he begins doing things he hadn't planned on. And as the years go by, he finds himself using drugs to get through life. Alvin, thank you for being my guest here today.
Hey, you're welcome.
Hi there, and welcome. Now it's time for America's favorite podcast, Leave Your Mark, with your host, Vince Cortez.
If it's fly, loose fit it, it's Cortez. If freezing, chub is in it, it's Cortez.
Leave Your Mark is about inspiring the world, one guest at a time.
Pass the word from Brooklyn to Pittsburgh, from urban to suburb, it's Cortez, you heard?
And here is our host, Vince Cortez.
You're a hometown guy, born in Aliquippa, raised in Beaver Falls. So being a Pittsburgh guy myself, I'm familiar with the neighborhood. And actually, I can recall back in the Beaver Gym High School, you were in a summer league. And it was the first time I had ever seen you play. And I was in the middle school at the time. And I don't think that you missed a shot. Between yourself, I can recall that Damon Bryant was there and Dwight Collins was on that team. And you guys were like an all-star team. So I was like, I'm thinking to myself at that age, there's no way I'm going to ever be as good as these guys. And so, I would go on to see them playing. So what I want to do is touch on real quick what life was like being raised in Beaver Falls. You had a number of siblings here. I want to just mention them. You had Hoover, Quentin, and Archie as your brothers, and Denise, Kim, and Donzel. So over Beaver Falls, in the valley, what was going on with you guys?
Well, Beaver Falls, it was a lot of fun growing up in Beaver Falls. We had some tough times. My dad, he had his addiction problems also. So we grew up in a family of alcoholism. He never did the drugs like I did, but alcohol was pretty bad. And it was just a weekend. He was a great dad. You know, I mean, he would beat every game when I was in elementary school, but come weekend, alcohol would overtake him and bring a lot of headaches to our family. So we went through a lot of addiction during that time. Other than that, you know, we had a great time as a family, didn't have a lot of money, but we knew how to have fun. Like a lot of us did back then. We knew how to play together and be in the streets and play with your guys. My senior year, we had seven seniors. So a lot of those guys I grew up with from elementary school, and we just knew each other and played and have fun together. But Beaver Falls is great for me. I really started entrepreneuring back when I was in elementary school, shoveling snow up there and making money. So.
Oh, wow. So some of the entrepreneurial skill set had come then. So now what I find is interesting, because you were a tremendous basketball player, but you said you played all sports over there, and you even said you were a wrestler. So, I mean, you were totally into it. I mean, football, basketball, wrestling and the like. So you were obviously pretty good if Larry Bruno in the Beaver Falls Hall of Fame is knocking at your door. So obviously I'm going to guess basketball was your favorite sport.
Yes, by far. Yeah. I started with baseball. Baseball was my first love, and I got pretty good at that. Made the all-star team in Beaver Falls baseball and led the team in hits in baseball. That's up to eighth grade. And from eighth grade on, I just stayed with cross country and basketball. I ended up being Beaver Falls number one cross country runner for three straight years, my sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So it kept me in my endurance pretty strong. So I wasn't that great, good of a shooter in high school. I was just in such great shape. And we had this crazy press that we would just steal the ball, but I would always be out in front. So they had to give it to me because it was ever that's how I get most of my points.
So that's where you're getting a point.
That's right.
So you're a standout at Beaver Falls, and Clarion University, Joe DiGregorio and Norb Bashnagel. Come knocking at the door. How does this go down from Beaver Falls to Clarion? What was your transition?
Well, you know what? It started the first game of the season, my senior year, when we played against Brashear had Sam Clancy. They had a guy named Marnie Macklin and Puffy David Kennedy. And these guys just won the state championship their junior year. These guys were all seniors that year, my senior year. They came to Beaver Falls and we beat them. They were already picked to win the state. So wow. From that, the very next game, these scouts were in the locker room and Norm Bashner was there. He was in the locker room. And I would see him almost after every game in the locker room. So he kind of persuaded me, let's go to Clary. And my dad was like, you know, and I wasn't much of a student. I didn't even want to go to college, to be honest with you. My dad said, you got a scholarship, you're going. So, yeah, so I went to Clarion, and that's how I ended up there with Norm Bashner being in the locker room. Then Coach D would be in the locker room. So he took turns seeing them all the time. So, yeah.
They were wise because this sounds like their strategy was being from Pittsburgh. They were working the Cleveland, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh area athletes. Mm-hmm. And so they knew the neighborhood and the mentality of the athletes. So, you know, that worked out great for you. So share with me some of what happened then during your 4 years at Clarion. So, I mean, you arose to a national prominence and you were being viewed on a pro level. So what happened?
Well, you know, when I first got there, Clarion was just coming off a national playoff appearance in NAIA. So they had four starters coming back also. So, you know, I played quite a bit myself my freshman year, but they still had like stars like Reggie Wells. He was like the star of that year. He's a freshman. And then my first year, he was a sophomore, I'm sorry. But he was a star for 4 years there at Clarion. And then, so I had to take a backseat to him for 2 years, my freshman and my sophomore year. But then after that year with him and all these guys, Mike Sassini and Butchie Phillips and Ronnie Phillips, they left. And then we started this new team with, well, Dan Janacki was still there. He was with that team also. Me and Dan and Joe Miles and Terry Johnson and Chris Roosevelt. And we started and we ended up going to the national playoffs and knocked off two of the high seeded teams and ended up in the quarterfinals. So that's pretty much how it started for me. And, you know, so I had my junior year was a really great year. That's my best year ever in basketball. You know, I averaged 27 points a game in postseason play during that run, that national playoff run. And we just a team that played together. We worked hard and we did pretty good that year. So
this is interesting because you're at this level for a season or two. So after graduation, then how did things play out for you?
Well, you know, I had an offer in Germany to go over and play pro ball in Germany. And then I remember again, I was working a little part-time job at Wendy's there in Clarion. And Coach Joe Bugore came there and told me that they found a 6'6 guard they liked better. So I won't be going. So
oh, wow.
I even got engaged to Eileen, my wife, which is still my wife today after, you know, 43 years. Well, we've been married 39 years together, 43 years. I got engaged to her right when I knew I was going to Germany, but then it fell through. So then that's when I went out to Montana and was on Building Volcanoes team, tried out for them. And then I got cut from them. So then I was waiting to go to the Philippines to play and there was fighting over there. So that fell through. Next thing I know, I was just waiting around to play and time started going. Next thing I know, I was in Erie, Pennsylvania, working a job as a quality control inspector and basketball was pretty much over. So
connect with us on LinkedIn. Be our friend on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Whether jumping out the MC or jumping on the app. You are listening to Vince Cortez. We just want you to leave your mark.
Now, this is something that I think a lot of guys, especially someone like yourself that had experienced a relative big success, because you're playing sports your whole life at this point. You know, you're 23, 24-year-old young man, and your identity is you're an athlete, and you view yourself through this world through that lens. So when that organized sport is no longer there, as a source of your identity, I think that there's a lot of mental check down that is not really accepted well by the athlete. You're in a change of identity here. And share with me, so like you're an Erie PA, and it sounds like you're depressed, that you're doing stuff you don't want to be doing. You're doing a career or a job. It's like, how did life get like this?
Exactly. Well, you know, it's funny, but I never realized until the economy started crashing in 2008 that the last time it did that was the same year I came out of college in 81. And there was no jobs. So not only was I didn't have basketball, I couldn't even find a job in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I started doing, my dad used to teach me how to redo cars in Beaver Falls because, you know, Bondo and putting metal on it and riveting. I started doing that to make money in Erie because I couldn't find a job at first. So then one of my teammates' father, Mike Cassini, he was able to get me a job up there. And I started working as a quality control inspector in plastic, injecting molding. But during that time, it's like, I didn't realize, but like what you said, I think depression was there because I was finding myself drinking every day. And then I just thought I was just living life, just drinking because I wanted to drink. The next thing I know, it got to where I was completely out of control drinking. I went into a rehab for 28 days. My wife didn't realize I was drinking like that. So one day she went to a bar with me and she watched me and she couldn't believe how much I was drinking. And I had a high tolerance, so I could drink a lot. But when I went to the rehab, they were saying like, you know, you don't have this, you don't have detox. You don't black ops. But I was just tired of drinking because that wasn't me. So yes, it's like I ended up being an alcoholic. But then after the rehab, I went back to the drink. And next thing I know, I started doing other drugs. So that lasts for about 7 years after that. So.
Oh, wow. So now this is a tremendous part of knowing that your wife went through you or with this through you the whole time. And right. So at this point, had you had any children yet 7 years later? And you're married for a little while at this time. And so life's getting much more serious. So you're entering a world here where it's like you've spiraled out of control.
Exactly. It was pretty crazy. I remember one day sitting there in Erie, right before we moved to Richmond, when things started really falling apart. And, you know, I've never, ever felt that my wife was going to be with me. She was hating what I was doing, and she really wanted me to turn around. She would always say one thing we'll talk about later in the book. She would always say that the Alvin that I fell in love with in college is still in there, and I want him back. So she stayed with me and fought with me to get through these things. But yes, I had my daughter, Whitney. Whitney, she was just a baby. She was maybe one at the time when the drugs started getting out of control. And I remember sitting there one day and I remember feeling five feelings. And I can't remember all of them, but I remember I was depressed, I was sad, I was angry, I was confused. And there was another one I can't put my hand on. But I said, how do you feel these feelings and they're this intense and they're real at one time? I knew things were completely bad for me. So that's when me and her decided, let's get out of Erie, let's go somewhere else. Erie Insurance Company moved us to Richmond, Virginia. Her company she was working for paid for everything. We started a new life in Richmond. After a while, I started using again in Richmond. I did good for a year and a half here in Richmond, then started using again.
What do you suppose let you slip? Because it's like life is kind of funny when we feel like we're in control. we'll have a tendency to go out on the edge again.
Yes,
because
yes.
We got it under control. So, you know, what do you suppose caused you to slip that time?
Well, you have people, places, and things. You know, this is one of the things NAAA tell you. Watch your people, places, and things. I came back to Pennsylvania. I came back to Aliquippa to see my sister because we got in a car accident and my car was still up here. Came back to get the car with a friend of mine. While I was here, I was hanging out with my family and started getting high again. And next thing I know, I went back direct to Richmond. And I started using again. So it was pretty much being around family members.
We were just doing the family fun and enjoying each other's company. And sometimes we got some bad habits mixed in there. Man. But I mean, now you go through this. Now that lasted for how long until you gripped yourself again? Because this is extremely difficult to work through what you're doing at this point.
Yeah, at that point, it lasted another, like, I think of 4 years. And I remember I went into four rehabs. And they do good for a little while, then I go right back to it. And I don't knock rehabs because rehabs are good for some people, but they weren't working for me for some reason. And, you know, so I even came back to Beaver Falls and stayed 2 years in Beaver Falls, which was tough being the name that I had in Beaver Falls. I'm working through a temporary service, trying to get my life together, you know, and it's kind of tough. But then it was like 2 months later, when I went back to Richmond, the word of God and the Lord set me completely free. But sitting in my living room by myself, I actually heard the Lord tell me to read my Bible. And I read my Bible, went to a place in the Bible that actually changed my life forever. And it hasn't changed. It's been 27 years now. and it's still going up from that day. And it took a lot of work. I had to be in church every time the doors open. I read my Bible every day today. I read several chapters every day. I spend time in prayer, and I still spend time in ministry, and it works for me.
How old were you when you just gripped yourself, right? Like you just did?
35.
35. Now, did you have a second child or just the one child still?
Yes. Matter of fact, my son was there with me that day when that happened, because my wife, she didn't like me leaving there with me because she didn't know if I would take him with me to get my drug. So he was there with me and he was on the floor playing. I remember saying to myself, I'm getting ready to lose my baby. I'm getting ready to lose my wife and everything because of this drug problem I can't seem to beat. And that's when the Lord set me free. And he was 2 years old at the time.
Wow.
So he's 29 now. Yeah, so praise God.
So now this is kind of interesting because were you in a prayerful mindset when this took you over? Was this something like an intuition? Because God works in mysterious ways, how he gets our attention. And you, I mean, this was it. I mean, you didn't realize now 27 years later that you weren't going back. So something was significant in you, or you recognized that significance. And so, I mean, I know you did that, but then you saying you kept doing it over and over. What was making you doing it over and over? Were you feeling fueled, or were you getting empowered, or how could you describe that new feeling?
I had to keep working at this. And that's what the things of God is all about. Some people think they can come into the church, come into the word, read it one time. I read the Bible one time. No, it became a lifestyle for me. That's like NA and AA and NA, they say 90 meetings in 90 days. Be there. You have to be there every time the doors open to the meetings. Well, this was the same way with the church. I had to be there every time the doors open. I was at 7 o'clock prayer every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock prayer every morning. I had to work at this. So I worked like that at basketball. And that's why I became an All-American and became the basketball player I was, because I worked ridiculously for it. And I realized that my life and my family is just as important as that basketball was to me back then. So if it takes me being in church every time the doors open, if it takes me being at prayer at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be there. And I did it. And I'm still doing it. And I'm never going to stop. So
through that pain, and what you turned into is you found out who the real man is.
You get that right.
And it wasn't necessarily is this young, gifted, talented high school kid that can play athletics at his whim and is inducted in the Hall of Fame. You're a man of God. And you're a great father. I mean, for you to, like, you pulled yourself out of the depths, and to do that on your own, I commend you so much. That was an incredible amount of inner strength, because you were on a fine line of tipping over. Like, we wouldn't be having this conversation 27 years later if you didn't get a grip on yourself like that.
Yeah, right. I'd have been dead or in jail.
That's right. Like you said, it would have pulled you back like a magnet. A lot of times things don't happen good of it, or when you're in that state of mind.
If you are listening from Australia, Florida, or just from around the corner,
from East Coast to West Coast outlets, if you're nodded to the dirty South straight, make a left and body modded.
Contact us. Leave your mark with your host, Vince Cortez.
So this, to me, I see where the idea, now you're an author of a book, but before we get into the book, you've got a business. Now, you were talking about scrambling for work and what you did to create work, and you have a janitorial service for over 25 years, and you're employing some 80 people, and it's like, share with me, you know, it sounded like what you mentioned briefly, your basketball work ethic played in. And I mean, you know, you're shot out of a cannon, Alvin. I mean, 25 years later, that's a lot of time.
Praise God. And you know what? And the business, I never forget, I was at a service one Sunday night, and I started leaving the service. And I can't remember what they talked about that service, to be honest with you. But I know that I could feel in my spirit the Lord telling me, start a business. And I said, well, I don't even know what to start in. And he said, what do you know how to do? Well, during my drug addiction, I did a lot of working through temporary service. I worked for service masters doing cleaning. I worked for another temporary service, stripping and waxing floors. I was doing janitorial work. So he said, start janitorial. And it was almost amazing. The very next day, I started trying to figure out how to start this business. No one would help me. And I called a guy I knew that left the church that had one. And he said, well, I gave my business up. I went back to Philip Morris. He said, I can have all my equipment and you can have it. He gave it to me the very next day, every bit of equipment I needed. And then at that time, I was making hair dye for Wella at the time and compounding. And I went to work the next day and they just bought a new van and they were selling their van for the highest bid. And somebody told me what it was. I went $100 over it. So within 3 days, I have all my equipment, my license, and a van.
Oh, wow. When God starts moving, I mean, that's crazy. How things go down. That had to feel good, as if you were knew you were in the right place and you made the right decision.
I just got inducted to the Clarion Hall of Fame. And in the alumni paper, the manager of the Richmond Coliseum went to Clarion. I didn't know it. And he saw in the alumni paper that I started a janitorial service in Richmond. He calls me, and within weeks or months of me starting this business, I have the Richmond Coliseum contract, not the whole thing, but parts of it, the MEOC tournaments, the NCAA tournaments. I'm cleaning up after them because of this connection from Clarion.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know, God is good.
No, well, it just probably began to multiply from there, because when you're on those levels, you know, hey, I need some help over here, whether catching you in action, you know. So, I mean, you grow from one person and doing this kind of hustle. How did that blossom?
It went all at the same time over the course of time. Okay. The most I had one time was 16.
Okay. Okay. 16.
Yeah. So in the 25 years, you know, different contracts.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah. So it's like over, I employed that many people over the time. But yes, it was pretty good. I mean, I had several years where the business was making way over $300,000 a year. And we were doing
very exciting. Now I got to get to the book.
Okay.
You're saying playing defense against the inner man. This is a great title, because what you shared with us earlier, I got a feeling you got into more detail about how you did get a grip on yourself.
Yes.
So, you know, couple of questions here. What was the motivation behind, I need to write a book? And then how did you put your book together? How did you decide to put your story together?
Well, you know, it started when the pandemic started, and I had this free time. We wasn't going to certain buildings. A couple of contracts said, right now, we don't want anybody coming in. So I had this free time. I would sit there in the morning and I would just start writing it. And then after a while, the Lord told me to turn it into a book and use it to help people start looking within themselves and start fighting against themselves and stop trying to blame other people for why they can't get themselves together. Nobody can stop you but you. Mm-hmm. And that's what the book is mainly about. Get help you need. So don't fight by yourself. Get the help you need, but don't let anyone stop you from getting yourself set free. And don't you stop until you get set free. And how to resist, how to fight, and how to never give up, pretty much. That's what the book is about. So.
Wow. Now, this is kind of interesting, because a lot of people will go back and forth about, do I or don't I write a book? And yours are all intuition type moments where you're getting this gut feeling or a feeling strong enough that mm-hmm. you act on it, and you're trusting that feeling to the degree. I'm excited to see what level of success God's going to spread on your life next, because, you know, you're a willing recipient of his blessings, and that's what he likes, you okay. know, a man that walks in his word. So, I mean, you're a living testament to being able to pull yourself through this. This is an incredible story you're sharing with us here today.
I love the Lord. I love the word of God. I graduated from Bible school. I shared the gospel in the prisons, one of the biggest prisons here in Richmond. It's the same prison where they actually executed the DC sniper in.
Wow.
Yeah, I shared the gospel in there for 10 years. I mean, I would have over 100 inmates come into the ministry. I share it in the Richmond City jails now. And I just love sharing the gospel. And I've been in Africa 4 times, sharing the gospel in Africa. So
this is amazing. So you're basically an international speaker as well as an author, besides a business owner. So this is wonderful to see happy endings here, Alvin. This
God.
Is really good. You started out hot and you ended hot. It's like a ball game. It's not how you start, it's how you finish, right?
Well, that's what my pastor always said. He said, I'm in my fourth quarter. After 60 is your fourth quarter, you know, from 40 to 60 is the third quarter, and 20 to it's the second quarter. He said, so, you know, he tell all his older people, you're in your fourth quarter. So don't give up. fight harder and win the game. You know?
Yeah, and I'd say you're winning the game. So that leads me to my question: why we have our guest on here? How would you like to leave your mark?
The main thing is just reaching other people, helping other people. I was praying that this morning, Lord, what do you want me to do to help other people? How can I help them get free? You know, when you go through things like I did, alcohol and the crack cocaine and drugs and different things, it's one thing to just get over it and then just go on with your life like, oh, look what I did. But when you remember what you went through and the pain you went through, and you know, people are going through those things now. So what can I do to help people? What can I do to share this gospel of Jesus? Because some people, like I said, rehabs don't work, but the word of God worked for me. So how can I share this word with them? And, you know, whatever I can do to be a blessing to other people, that's my goal, other people.
I love it. Alvin, thank you so much for coming on here today. That was fantastic.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you.
It was really good. A fellow Golden Eagle making big tracks out there. I love it.
Oh, praise God. Thank you. You were at Clarence. I'm not supposed to ask you questions, but you came to Clarence right after me, I think.
I was in the year after you left. So actually, that was there the last year that Coach Bass Nagel and Coach T. Gregorio were there. That was my first year
with John Calipari, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. We were always, like you mentioned, he always had an opinion on your play, you know, and noticing you not missing any shots. And I was busy getting kicked out of practice, starting fights with Calipari because I'm trying to impress the coach. So
That's good.
He was very upset at me. I almost got killed in the locker room for getting thrown.
Yeah, John was his boy.
Yeah, he was a little intense. That was great stuff. It was a great place to be. Thanks again for coming by.
Take care of yourself,
man. All right.
Thanks for listening to Leave Your Mark today. Tune into our next episode of Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez. Be blessed.
You just left your mark. Thanks for listening. Listen to more episodes on demand. Just click Leave Your Mark with Vince Cortez.